Happens to be Andre. And I'm grateful today to the God of my understanding, this fellowship called Narcotics Anonymous, for another day of freedom. I need to say first and foremost that when I was asked to do this, you know, right away I got nervous. It's always, you know, whenever I'm asked to talk about me and my recovery, immediately I get those butterflies. You know, I don't know if y'all experienced that. But immediately I got those butterflies. So what I like to do is to help me to stay anchored, as my sponsor always talks about. I wish you would have helped me to take a moment that I might share as openly, as honestly as I can about my understanding of the 12th step and the 12th tradition. And I'm asking you that because I still suffer from egoitis. You know, I don't know about any of you, but I've always had this dream. That's one of the ways I got here. I always wanted to be everybody else but me. And sometimes my disease will take me off, you know, and I have to get back. So what I'm asking you for is just help me to just take a moment that I might get back centered and share with you as openly, as honestly as I can. So if you would, just take a moment of silence with me for a minute, please. Thank you. Once again, I need to say I'm an addict. My name just happens to be Andre. And I need to always be mindful of that, you know, because when I first came around here, people asked me, why did I always say that? You know, my name just happens to be. And one of the reasons why was because when I first came around, I had a guy who had been around here for a while who told me, you know, the bottom line is I can substitute anybody's name in there, but I need to always be reminded that first and foremost, I am an addict. That's how I got here. I need to let you know that my experience with the 12 steps, before I could get to the 12 step, I had to start at one. You know, I don't know about any of you sitting in here. You know, I need to say this too. I'm really glad this is a small meeting. You know, I've been blessed to be around here for a few 24s, but still, it's just something about the bigger meetings. You know, I'm more comfortable. I like the intimacy, you know, when it's a smaller group. So I'm really grateful God was looking out for me again. Because right away I was up in my head and holding session as I usually do, you know, about, oh, it's going to be a great big meeting. It's going to be so many people and da-da-da-da. You know, and again, see, that's some of what I suffer from. I was talking to a guy earlier, and he was talking about how he had always wanted to do this meeting or be a speaker at this convention. You know, when I first came around to the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, I remember coming to this convention when it was in Crystal City, Virginia. And the first meeting I'd ever gone to, convention, I guess I must have had like 9 months clean. And to walk in this room, you know, because right away I'm thinking, shit, I'm going up in there. I know somebody knows something about getting high. And I see all these addicts. And they ain't using. I don't know about y'all, man, but that was my first spiritual awakening. That was I don't know about y'all, man, but that was powerful to me because I didn't think that was possible. I didn't think it was possible. And then for all these dope fiends to be in this room and wasn't nobody pulling out no pistols, wasn't nobody sticking up nobody, You know, wasn't nobody calling each other out their names, out their face. It wasn't none of that. That was powerful to me. And for the first time, I got a glimpse of, this is where you belong. I need to tell you a little bit about the spiritual awakening I had that brought me to this room. I was just sharing with these guys here earlier. I come from out of Baltimore, West Baltimore, and the mob that I came out of, you know, was always about, you know, being slick, hip, and cool. It was always about being strapped. It was always about fighting, cutting, stabbing, whatever. It was always about that. And my last run, I was standing on a corner in West Baltimore. I had just called the treatment facility a couple of days before. And the guy asked me, he said, look, he said, I want you to come in on January the 5th. And I said, oh, well, I don't know if I can do that. And he said, why? I said, because my birthday is January the 4th. And I knew I was going to get paid and have a pocket full of money. And I don't know about y'all, but my routine was, for my birthday, if I didn't get blind no other day, just standing here thinking about that. Because I remember so many days when my birthday would come around, I would get lost. I was married at the time, and I used to walk out of that house with a pocket full of money. And my wife, my mom, my kids, they didn't know if I was dead or alive, because it'd be a week, 2 weeks before they see me, when all the money was gone. So I don't know about y'all, but I believe that was the first spiritual awakening I had, because I knew when I stood there on that corner in West Baltimore waiting for these New York boys to serve me, I knew that I didn't want to stand on that corner no more. Because I had already had a glimpse. I had already been in Narcotics Anonymous and got a taste. Had gone back out and relapsed once again after sitting in a meeting on Greenmount Avenue and afraid to raise my hand and say, look, I want to use. And I walked out of that meeting and I used. But thank God I called this guy, this doctor, and he got me right back into treatment. But I told him, man, I don't know about that January move now, because my birthday is the 4th. And he said, well, look, do the best you can. But when I stood there on that corner and I just got one bang, I knew something was different. Because that's not what I normally did. And that was my first glimpse of having that spiritual awakening. The next time I can remember having the spiritual awakening was after I got here into the rooms and had been in here for 2.5 years. Walking around talking about recovery, going to meetings, but never had worked any step. And I was going out and I was tricking. And I'm talking about, I was tricking just like I had shot dope. Now, I don't know if y'all, you know what that's like, but just like I was chased the powder, that's how I was chased those girls. And I can remember having a pocket full of money again, going to school, supposed to be in the house studying, and what am I doing? Getting tricks. And I'm talking about one after the other, after the other, after the other, after the other, until I was whipped and I still was trying to go back. I was taking every dollar that I had in my little checking account and buying women. And I remember sitting in my apartment in Hagerstown Maryland, in the dark, after I had done this one more time, spent all of my money sitting there, broke, humiliated, disgusted, once again. And I was sitting in the dark, and I was thinking to myself, man, if you feel this like this, shit, you might as well go and get a bag. All you got to do is get in the car, run down to Baltimore and cop. Won't nobody in the meeting know. Come back to your little apartment. Get on. Won't nobody know. And I was afraid. I was afraid. And that was, I believe, my second spiritual awakening. God let me know. He said, look, call somebody. See, I don't know about y'all, but the mom I came out, we didn't call nobody, you know. It was all on you. You know, you your own man. You do your, you know, it's on you. And I called this friend of mine's, and he said to me, look, Andre, I got a guy I want you to meet. And I called this guy. This guy had been around for a few 24s. You know, we got to talk, and we had a lot of things in common. And he shared some things with me. And he said something to me real simple. He said, Andre, he said, look, he said, there's nothing wrong with what you're doing if you can deal with the consequences. He said, but if you can't deal with the consequences, we need to do something different. Bing. Mind you, I had been around here for 2.5 years. And that was when I first began to write on the steps. Not just read them, but to write on them. And I believe, again, that was one of the second spiritual awakenings I had. One of the others. You know, I got to this room a lot of different ways. All of it came down to one thing, you know, me suffering from low self-esteem, low self-worth. I'm a combat vet, you know. I went to Vietnam. I got my leg blown off in Vietnam. And when I came back from Vietnam, I didn't think anybody was going to love me. I didn't think anybody was going to love me because I didn't love me. When I looked in the mirror at me, I didn't like what I saw. So I surmised that if I don't like what I see in the mirror, how can you? And so for me, that was another excuse to just keep pumping this poison in my body. And then God reminded me, there's somebody for everybody. And he brought some people in my life. Once I got clean, he introduced me to some people, you know. The woman I'm married to today. The woman that I'm married to today. Because Narcotics Anonymous gave me some principles, you know, that I could live by. And I wasn't a principled guy when I got here. You know, my principle was real simple. Give me, give me, give me, give me. It was real simple, you know. When the guy asked me about doing this meeting, I was like, nah, man, you know, I really can't do this. I really don't want to do this. And the reason why is, I don't know about y'all, you know, one of the things that I'm struggling with now in my recovery, because like I said, I've been around for a few 24s, you know, and God has blessed me and opened doors and just made my life so abundant. You know, I don't know about y'all, when I first came around, I had a plate, a little plate, you know, that I only could get like maybe a morsel or two on the plate. And after a few, then the plate got a little bigger, and I got a few more morsels. And then the plate got a little bigger, and I got a few more, and then bigger and bigger. And I got a plate now, man, it's so full, so abundant. But see, and just for the day, I read this thing, and it was talking about how when I was using, I would always run out the house trying to cop. And I would leave the responsibility on my wife to take care of the kids, to take care of the home, to take care of all the wreckage that I would cause. I expected her to take care of that. Okay? And then just with, see, I don't know about y'all. Here again is another one of those spiritual awakenings. Because I don't know about you, but I had read that in Just for the Day a number of times. But it never really clicked what it was saying to me. See, and I could relate. I don't know why, but for this time, man, I could relate to it. And I was sitting in my home group, and I read that. And it told me that that's exactly what I did. You know, I can come in here, and I can get involved in service. I got to run the service. I got to run to my home group. I got to run to my sponsees. I got to run and run and run. And I expect my wife to take care of it all. I came down to this convention. I brought my kids, my grandson, my godson. I expected my wife to take care while I do the meetings. See, that's the same stuff I did using. The exact same thing. And what the basic tech told, what Just for the Day told me is, I got to stop. Ding. Spiritual awakening. Because I'm one of those guys that I always tell my sponsees, if you want something different, you got to do something different. If I'm not modeling that, how can my sponsees do it? How? They can't. See, because they're watching me. And again, that was another one of those spiritual awakenings that I got, man. You know, and like I said, I wrestle with this. You know, what do I do? Do I do this meeting? 12 o'clock midnight. I'm trying to get my boys to sleep. You know, and you know how kids is. They trying to watch cartoons and wrestle and jump. And my wife is beat. Took them to the zoo and all while I'm going doing meetings. Now I'm saying, okay, baby, I got to run and do this meeting, so you put them to pee. I don't know about y'all. Sometimes that's a struggle for me, trying to keep a balance with all this stuff. You know? Because, again, I owe so much to Narcotics Anonymous. Because without Narcotics Anonymous and the spiritual principles that Narcotics Anonymous taught me, I couldn't have a wife. I don't know about y'all, see, because I shot my wife up in a bag of powder so many times. That's where she went at. That's where my kids went. All their money, all their aunts and uncles' money, grandparents, anybody else's. That's where it all went. I don't want to do that no more. I don't want to do that no more. And that's what the 12th tradition tells me about. It tells me, now I got to practice this principle. What does that mean? How do I practice that? What it means, it's, for me anyway, is I got to do something different if I want something different. And what I got, what I want different for me is not just to not use. That's the major part. But I don't want to keep going running around making the same kind of mistakes that I did. My sponsor always tell me, hey, let's make some new ones, not the same ones. Because if you're making the same ones, something wrong. So for me, man, having a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, you know, I'm in school. God has blessed me and allowed me to go back. I don't know about y'all. I ain't never graduated from nothing. I'm 50 years old. I ain't never graduated from nothing. But I'm on the brink. I'm standing right at the door. I can see the light right down the hall where I can graduate. I don't know about y'all, but I never really wanted to make no difference in nobody other than those who was doing the same things that I was. With this education, see, I can make some difference. I'm given an opportunity where I can help some other people. Again, we're talking about that 12th step and that 12th tradition, practicing. and being a reflection of this. Because that's why I can do that, Narcotics Anonymous. That's why I can go to school. I went to school before, stayed high, didn't learn nothing. All I did was collect a check. Didn't learn a thing. You know what I mean? I got a grade one time. I couldn't tell you how I got a grade. Because I was always none. But again, because of God's, you know, will for me, man, he allowed me to do some things, you know. The 12th edition tells me this, that I am who I am, and I have to allow you to be who you are. And that I may not like how you look. I may not like how you talk. I may not even like where you come from. But I had better allow you to be who you are. Because that's what I want for me. You know what I'm saying? That's what I want for me. I want to be able to come into this room. And sometimes I still come into these rooms and I get caught up. Like I said, you know, the court goes into session, man, and I'm like, damn, I wonder what they're going to think about this or what they're going to think about. They're going to think what they want. You know, they're going to think what they want. And I'm powerless. And a lot of times I don't want to be powerless. You know, I want to be back in charge, you know what I mean? And I pay the price when I do that. I pay the price, man. You know, what can I tell y'all? You know what I mean? What I can tell you is this, man, you know, I've been around here for a few 24s and trying to do some things. And sometimes my life is so out of whack. It's so out of whack, man, because my plate is so full. My partner here told me about, you know, sometimes you just got to say no. Sometimes it's just hard for me to say that because I owe so much to Narcotics Anonymous. You know, because Narcotics Anonymous has given me a chance just to be able to stand up for something. You know, to believe in this. I heard a girl saying today about to have some hope. You know, because that's how I got here. I saw y'all. That was the attraction for me. I saw some of y'all that was there, done the same things I had done. In the same shooting galleries that I was in. And here y'all was. And I said, damn, if they can do it, they ain't no better than me. I can have that too. I can have that too. And the 12th edition tells me that I got just the God to allow you to be who you are and what you are. And it don't make no difference. You know, because I got to practice this principle. Honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. Man, I go to school, Jack, and sometimes, man, I want to cheat so bad on them exams. Huh? See, when the professor put me off in the room by myself, I look around. You know, I said, shit, you know. And then the principal kick in. Who are you cheating, Andre? Who are you cheating? But I'm telling y'all, I'm getting tired of them D's. I'm getting tired of those D's, man, you know. So what's the answer? You know, because my sponsor always tell me, okay, look, you got a situation going on. Let's take a look at this situation. If you don't understand, let's write about it. You put it in on pen and paper. Then we can talk about finding the solution. What is the solution with me in education? The solution is I got to study. And I got to study harder. And I still might fail the test. But at least I've done something different than what I did before. Because before, I cheat, get a B, walk around like this, and still ain't no shit. You know what I'm saying? Because again, see, the bottom line for me anyway, it's not about you. It's about how I feel in here. In here, and I'm telling y'all, sometimes, man, it's in here, I'll be wrestling with this, and I'll be saying, ho, you know that ain't right. I ain't been to my home group in a while. I can't afford to keep doing that. I can't. You know why? Because after a while, I won't be in school. I won't be at my house. I won't be in my home group. I'll be right back on one of them corners. Trust me. I've done it before. But I need to also get honest with you and tell you, man, sometimes I be trying to juggle all this stuff. And how do I do that and stay clean? Keep me healthy. I don't know about y'all. Sometimes I had to wear so many hats, I get so confused. Father, husband, son, brother, uncle, everybody. But the bottom line is this, is that I got a loving God that works in my life. And he lets me know real simple. He lets me know real simple. I can't. He can if I let him. That's the only reason why I'm standing here tonight. That's the only. Ain't nothing fantastic I've done. Nothing. Because I told you my first inclination was to run. To not do this meeting. But I'm here because I trust this power that's brought me through so much. Through so much. And I have to always be mindful of that. That I got a God who ain't going to just kick me to the curb now. You know, all I got to do is just walk through and I'll be all right. Thanks for letting me see. I'll keep coming back.
Thank you, Andre. I'd like to introduce our second speaker, Ed.
Hello, family. I'm Addict Named Ed. It's truly by the grace of God I'm here, and I'm real, real thankful to be here. You know, my sponsor, before he ever talked, he always prayed. I asked him why he do that. He told me he prayed because if he didn't, he'll start lying and making up shit. So I'm going to pray too. Amen. You know, I want to thank you, Andre, for sharing. You know, I know God put both of us here at the same time because a lot of his story was parallel to mine, you know. I lived through Southeast Asia. I'm 50. I know I don't look 50, but, you know, I'm so bald you can read my mind, actually, you know. And I lived through a lot, and I'm kind of wired up in a couple of places, you know. And shit been blown apart, but I'm not using, and I'm real thankful for that. I've had a lot of spiritual awakenings. All of them wasn't in this program. I remember being in Southeast Asia, and I had did a lot of drugs, and my membranes had scarred up and a lot of scar tissue. And I was being operated on or something, and they couldn't get the tube down my nose because of the scar tissue, and my lungs were filling up with blood. And I heard them say, "We're losing him." That's all I heard. And I remember seeing them work on me from the ceiling. That was my first spiritual awakening. And when they got the tube down my nose, I kind of like went back into my body. That scared the shit out of me. It truly did. And I really believe I had died. And I know that feeling. And I never could imagine. I mean, I really didn't want to come back into the body. I had problems steering, but I didn't want to come back into the body. And I often wonder why God saved me, my higher power. I never would imagine that I would be standing in front of people telling them about how I don't do dope no more. That's just, if you had told me that 15, 20 years ago, I would say, you better scat, okay? Because it ain't going to be happy for you if you continue to stay and tell me that. But here I am. I am so grateful. I was sharing with Andre that I've been trying to share some experience, strength, and hope. About 6 years I've been coming in, some of them, first one thing, the other. And before I left Virginia, I prayed, God, use me. Here I am. You know, the second spiritual awakening wasn't so, like, non-dramatic as the first one. They were chasing me up and down Virginia Beach Boulevard. They were trying to kill me. You know, I cornered the market. I was selling drugs, New York prices. The Norfolk boys just wasn't going for that shit. And it wasn't a happy time for me, you know. I ran up and down Virginia Beach Boulevard until I ran out of gas. And, you know, I was at the inn. And I remember going into the apartment complex, and I knocked on the door, and the people opened the door, closed the door, because I looked like shit. You know, you do drugs for 3 days. It's just not, you don't look, you know, full of vim and vitality and shit. You look half dead. And I guess she just slammed the door, and I hopped the fence, and I was in the Marine Corps. And I hopped the fence about 14 feet. And I was on the other side of that fence, breaking, sweating profusely. Excuse me. And I remember them saying, there's no way he could have got over that 14-foot wall. He's still in here. And they locked, I heard him lock and loaded the weapons. And I was on the other side of that wall, and I cried out to God. I cried out to my higher power. I said, God, please, please, save me. And you know what? Here I am. I'm here standing before you truly by the God's grace and his mercy. Nothing I did. You know, and after coming in here, I had to work some steps. See, I sponsored myself for a lot of years. And in sponsoring myself, I really didn't get a lot of good information. You know, shit consisted of, well, Ed, what are we going to do about recovery today? You know? And you ask a guy like me a question like that, I'm going to come up with some shit. Well, let's play a little ball, shoot a little pool, and shit, watch a little TV, we'll be all right. It just didn't work out. It just did. Something went wrong. You know what I'm saying? And after getting a lot of pain, I decided to go and do it the right way. See, I was real slimy. I bought a lot of slime. I bought a lot of habits from Southeast Asia. I bought a lot of slime into here, to these rooms. And I thank God, my higher power. I wasn't going through all this pain so I could have a story to tell you 20 years later. I just was caught up in the grips of this disease, and I couldn't break free. And I think each time that I gave up something, my higher power gave me something. You understand what I'm saying? I got a closer relationship with him. Like Louis the Luster, I have problems shaking that, you know, because when I came in here, I was all fucked up, and the girls just started looking good. And, you know, I thought I'd help them with their recovery, you know. But what I found out, that the more I acted out on character defects, every time I said yes to a character defect, I said no to God. And I was getting, in developing this relationship, I was getting a conscience. And that conscience was more or less governing the way I acted. And it was hard to say no, because, you know, the basic text tells me about how my socialization skills were reduced to the animal level. And if you got dogs at the house, you know, your dogs never tell another dog, hey, would you like to go out sometime and have a bone? They don't. They smell and they mount. And it's basically where I was when I came in here. But you know what? I got a sponsor and I started working steps, man. And I started purging myself. And you know what? I don't know, a spiritual awakening, I didn't know when the compulsion left me, but it just left. That was a spiritual awakening. I had a lot of them here. But towards the end, when I had got rid of a lot of stuff, and I got a lot, man, I tell you, I did some shameful shit. You know, when I was out getting high, it wasn't a happy time. I mean, I was low rent. I would do a lot of low rent shit. And it bothered me, and it gave me guilt and shame. Guilt and shame. And I think the more I worked steps, the more I told people about this, man, the fear, the freer I became. And then I had this relationship, and I still got this relationship, and I tried to improve this relationship with the higher power, which I call God. You know, and there's nothing I asked for that I haven't gotten. Nothing. And he got a sense of humor, too. You know, he got a sense of humor. You ever prayed for a woman? I did that. She was beautiful. I said, God, please, God, please, please, God, please, please, God. You know what? He gave me that woman. But he didn't tell me that she was manic depressant and she would chase me around the house with the shotgun. And I imagine when she was chasing me around with that shotgun, I imagine my high power said, hey, you like praying for women, huh? I bet you don't pray for no more women. And I haven't since, you know, because I'm not good in picking women. I'm not. I always pick, see, sick people, they kind of like gravitate towards me, and I don't know why, you know, but they're usually sick people, and I just gave up on that, and I asked God that whatever he gives me, that's what I'll have. I won't go out looking for it, and I don't go out looking for anything today, and I trust in God. My life is none of my business, and you know what? I try to carry that message of hope. You know, I do 12-step calls. I sponsor people. I'm active. I have a home group. I chair a meeting. I'm active. My plate is full also. You know, and 12-step calls, you know, I'm real careful about 12-step calls. If an addict calls me and say I'm suicidal, well, I'm saying, you know, shit, if he's going to kill you, there's a chance you could kill my ass too. And you know, and I won't go on that call. He's already used. He's all high up. What can I accomplish? And when I do a 12-step call, I always take another addict about the size of Andre. You know? Yeah. Because addicts, they can get, man, we're unpredictable. You know? Unpredictable. I remember going to do a 12-step call, and I say, look, man, halfway through this, this guy going to get real belligerent. So, you know, we're not here for that. We're here to share the message of hope. But just kind of like give him the nod. Sure enough, halfway through the thing, he stood up there, you know, he's blowing a balloon up, letting the balloon, this is how my addiction is, and letting the balloon go all around. Then he took an ashtray and said, well, my disease going all around just like this cigarette buzz going ashtray. And it wasn't make no sense. I mean, shit, you know, we asked. We don't, that shit was realistic to him, right? And then he got up like that, you know, and I just looked at him, and you know, I said, I pray, I said, God, please, you know, let me do the right thing. But the look I gave him is, you know, we came here to share about God and hope. And we really don't want to kick your ass in your house. So it would be a good idea if you just sit back down. And you can do that with a look. And you don't have to be nasty. You can say what you mean and mean what you say, but you don't have to say it meanly. And I learned that right here in Narcotics Anonymous. And I had a friend that did a 12-step call. And he was sporting a black eye, you know, and that black eye was just out there. He went and talked, and he shouldn't have done it, and here I am. I'm black, and I got my ass whooped. Basically what he was saying, you know. And today I won't do 12-step calls unless I have people with me, man. And I have a message to share today. I remember when I came in the rooms, I had 90 days. I felt like I could help people, especially women. Didn't work out. The whole thing is I had to give a message to share, and the message is hope, and I don't try to sound eloquent. I don't. I pray and I ask God to give me something to share, give me something to say, and let him use me to maybe lead somebody to this fellowship, this program, and that's what it's all about for me. And the message is hope. At the spiritual awakening, at the end of those 12 steps, for the first time, you know, I wasn't ashamed. For the first time in my life, I didn't have no shame or guilt. You know how that feels. Man, it's just like a weight been lifted off. I remember telling my wife, and I used to bullshit about spirituality and God. And she was real religious. You know, she's not my wife anymore, obviously. But she was real religious. And she would say things like, I went praying, I was talking to God, you know, and I would mock her and make fun of her. And she would say God told her something. I said, yeah, I was talking with God. We played, just finished playing racquetball. And he was telling me, and she would just cut me off and say, God don't even talk to you. And I believed that shit. I really believed that. But I found God right in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. This is where I found God, man. And I've been to church. I mean, I've had hands laid on me and put the hand on the TV until there was a fucking print in the TV. But nothing never stopped me from getting high. Nothing. This is the only thing that ever worked for me. The only thing. You know what? My hold on to it. You know, I'm here for the duration, man. I'm just here for the duration. I kind of like earn my seat. You know, I earned this seat here. And I'm not going anywhere. You know, jails, in and out of jails. It's just gonna get my ass whooped. You know, and now I think today I know how to stop and stay stopped just for today, man. I do it one day at a time. I don't know how to stay clean a week. I don't know how to do this shit for a whole week. Just one day. You know, I get up, I pray, I read. I surround myself with addicts. Okay, I call my sponsor. I call my sponsor just to say hi sometimes, not to bitch and whine and moan. And I don't whine. There's a problem, there's a solution, and there's some acceptance. Now the problem is, am I willing to get through each phase to get to the other side? Now I can get stuck in certain phases of it, and I'll create pain for myself. See, pain I'm going to have. But when the pain is repeated, pain, 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 I'm suffering. I remember my nephew was executed by the state of Virginia. That was one of the hardest things I had to get through. I asked my sponsor, what should I do? He told me, tell you people about it till I get gratitude. I said, he has to be crazy. How the hell am I ever going to get gratitude out of that? But you know what? I shared it, and I kept sharing it, and I kept sharing it, and I kept sharing it. And you know what happened? In the end, the gratitude that I got, that this could have been me, but it wasn't. And I was truly grateful that it wasn't. You know what I'm saying? Today, I go with what I feel here in my gut. I don't listen to shit in my head. Because I can fabricate all kinds of stuff. I can, you know, denial will hook up with my ego. And they'll paint an illusion of how things going to be if I do what they're trying to get me to do. And then my ego will say, you know, you can do it. And I'll listen to that shit. And there's a whole damn committee. And then I'll go and do some shit if it's in my head. But in my gut has never been the wrong answer. Never. Because there were times when you know, I would say shit like, I'll put $150 in my sock and I'll just spend $100. Like my sock is a big wide field that I can hide shit in, right? And I say, y'all, I'll do that. And I heard, man, I heard it right here. Don't do it, Ed. I heard that, man. But I switched to an automatic pilot, and then I saw the illusions with seeing me doing it, and it's going to be okay. And I saw, okay, yeah, you come back, and nobody will know, and all kind of shit. But it wasn't real. It didn't work out. You know what I'm saying? So I go by what's here, not here. And I got it by working steps, by working on me, by working on my character defects on a daily basis, by working the steps, by having a sponsor, by coming to meetings on a regular basis. And then the spiritual awakening happened when I knew that I'm nothing without Narcotics Anonymous. I ain't poo-poo without God. I'm not poo-poo without you people. And you know what? I need you people. When you show up to share experience, strength, and hope with me, man, that's a wonderful thing. Because you really didn't have to do it. And that's the unity of this program. I was in the Marine Corps, and they didn't teach us a lot of nice things. You know what I mean? But I always had something to prove to somebody. You know, in Narcotics Anonymous, I ain't got to prove shit. Everybody know how to get high. You know, everybody in here, it's not like I'm going to tell you some new ways. You've done everything. All the damn character defect shit, you've done that. I mean, I can tell you shit that's horrible. And somebody will know how to do it. I done it, you know. Anybody know how to fuck sheep? Well, you put them on the hill, you let them, like, lean off the hill until they'll push back. Somebody will come tell me all kind of shit. So my point is, whatever you've done here, somebody else have done it. And there's no need to feel shame. You know, shame and guilt was always a place for my disease to hide. You know, in a spiritual awakening at these steps, I come to the realization I don't have to hide anything. Here I am. This is who I am. Like me or not. And the tradition states that irregardless to what I am, who I am, you people still going to love me. You know, you can put these 24 spiritual principles before my bullshit. Well, I don't like him. He's Swahwanese. Well, what the fuck is a Swahwanese? Well, I don't know, but he's that, you know? And I'm not going to like him. I don't, just don't like her how she got out the car. I don't like how she chewed gum. You know, I didn't listen to shit she said when she shared because she just, I just don't like her. But you know what? A lot of times when I don't like people, I have problems with egomaniacs. You know why? Because I'm one. And I'm thinking, shit, how dare him? He's taking my job. And you see, take that air at your chest. You know what I'm saying? And what I'm looking at is myself. I'm looking at myself and somebody else getting pissed off. And you know, I don't like him. But they ain't got nothing to do with staying clean, man. This is about living, dying. And God, let me tell you about him with his sense of humor. God would put in my life what I don't like to save my life. I didn't like Jews. I did some shit. And so I didn't like Jews. So what? I got a Jewish sponsor. You know what I'm saying? He's in my life. And I didn't like men to hug me. And he said, you don't like men to hug you? I said, no, I don't. I don't roll like that. He said, oh, you don't roll like that, huh? And he grabbed me again and just hugged me and held me. Just held me. Just held me. And I'm just turning all red and blue, black, whatever, you know, we turn. And I was just turning. I said, man, goddamn, you know, this guy, this thing will work out. He's fucked up, you know. I don't know about this guy. And then he would make me hug people in meetings. Hug 10 people. And I would go there like, hi, you know, and I got to doing it, man, to the point that I actually love hugging people today, man, and love feeling the love of people. I learned that right here. I learned how to be a man in rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. You know, principles before personalities. I don't care who you are. If you got something to say here, I'm gonna listen to you, because if I don't listen, what I'm missing might be what I need to save my ass. You hear me? And when I can get out the way, it's so much better. When I'm in the way, man, something always mess up. And whatever God puts in front of me, I better work with it. Because if I don't, it's not going to be a happy time. And if I ever forget about the past, God would put me back in the past so I can get a good remembrance of it. You understand what I'm saying? Just because I've been clean a few cups of coffee, you know what I mean? I have been clean a few cups, but I don't get air in my chest and won't get out myself and try to help a newcomer. I won't listen to that newcomer. I'll tell that newcomer, you know,
sit down and shut up.
I don't do that, man, because I need to hear that it ain't got no better. I need to hear that. People going to recover in their own time. I think I'll do an injustice to a newcomer if I try to stop him from getting that pain that he needs to get this program. So I'm not going to try to save him or lessen the pain, or, you know, but I'm going to be there to hug him, love him, and welcome back to this fellowship just like somebody welcomed me. See, there's no shame in using. The shame is not coming back. And that's what they told me. You know what I'm saying? And these 24 spiritual principles, when I'm practicing these principles in my affairs, my life is so much smoother. But when I try to put my shit in there, my shit usually comes with that triangle of self-obsession. You know, and when I put that shit in there, man, it always just fucks up. You know, it really does every time. So I'm careful. And a couple of things happened here. You know, we went to the buffet. Of course, I was going the wrong damn way. You know, and people were getting pissed off, and they were looking real mean and shit, you know. So, and you know, people look mean when it comes to food, man. When you holding up the food, when you holding up the food and they're hungry and shit. I said, wasn't he just sharing a spiritual message 2 hours ago? You know, he's got horns on the head, and you know. I said, and so what I do is try to humor. I said, well, you know, I guess I'm going the wrong way. Yep. I said, well, you know, golly, please forgive me. What could she say? Nothing. just little simple things. Wherein years ago, it would have been, you know, oh, man, you know, bitch, don't be looking at me like that. You know, that kind of shit, man. I didn't know how to talk. I didn't know how to talk to people, man. But today, my feelings get so, after you have some spiritual awareness and awakeness, your feelings get hurt so easy. My little feelings get hurt, man. Sometimes hurt my feelings. And I remember I was in the street. I've been to places you couldn't smile because they'll kill you. Just don't smile, they'll kill you. And now, you can hurt my feelings. Just say something to me, my little feelings hurt. But they gave me, I knew how to recognize my feelings in the program of Narcotics Anonymous. It was okay to feel. It was okay to cry. I was in an organization, you couldn't cry. I remember when I cried, man, I learned so much. These 24 spiritual principles I apply them to my life. And if you apply them to other people, they like ricochet back from them people and you get the love. You know what I mean? No contempt prior to investigation. I don't care who you are. I shouldn't have contempt for you and practice these spiritual principles of Narcotics Anonymous. I should, because I'm missing out on a good human being that I got contempt for just because I don't like the way he holds his head. You know, that kind of shit. And the program teaches me that principles comes before personalities. In any case, I was so glad to be here, man, and share experience, strength, and hope. It meant so much to me, you know? It meant so much to me, man. And, you know, my sponsor told me that I get the cue when God wants me to shut up to. He said, when God gives you the cue, shut up. Because, you know, if you don't, you could be lying and making up shit. And, you know, I follow my sponsor's suggestions. You know, I want to share a little poem with you. It's nothing, it's no rap or nothing, but it's something that helped me. Somebody introduced us somewhere. I don't remember. I guess we started talking. I don't know what about. Michael was from Florida by way of NYC. And from that moment on, he became a friend to me. I used to always see him, and sometimes we'd drop by. But whenever we were alone, it was time to get high. But the high was never high enough. He tried day after day, and helplessly, helplessly, I watched his spirit simply slip away. God, he used to sit and brag the money and the dope he had, but I just can't forget how sad Michael looked to me. I read the evening paper. They called it a heart attack. But I know damn full and well he'd overdosed on smack. Now the party's over. The guy had cleaned out his space. But I just can't forget the sad look on Michael's face. Now I'm going to say in closing, this story is sad, but it's true. Somewhere there's a Michael in me, all of you. And I am truly grateful for what I have today. Because I would be where Michael is if it wasn't for God and NA. I'm an addict named Ed. Thanks for listening.
We do have a few minutes left if anybody would like to come up and share. Please remember to come up to the mic once, one person at a time. Try to keep in mind that there may be somebody else in the room that wants to share, if you want to share. And if you don't want to be taped, inform the gentleman to your left.
My name is Samir and I'm an addict. I'm grateful to be here. I want to thank my higher power. I choose to call God for another day in recovery. And I want to thank my brother and Ed for sharing that message of hope. You know, spiritual awakening for me has been just staying clean on a daily basis is a spiritual awakening, is an opportunity for me to grow. But I think what really is happening, Ed talked about the triangle of self-obsession, and I'm starting to see that. You know, I put the drugs and the alcohol down. and that there's a lot of other things I got to let go of to reap the full benefits of this program. And there's things that I've been holding on to for a long time, and I've been seeing now that it's self-will, and it's basically wanting what I want when I want it. And by me not getting that, I'm left with resentments against people, against society, against women, against whatever's going on. And I'm learning that, you know, God will do things in His time, not in mine. And I can live truly, if I want, happy, choice, and free. But I have that chance every morning that I get up to decide. You know, I can decide if this is going to be a day I'm going to fuck it up with my attitude, or if this is going to be a day where I'm going to be grateful for the things God has given me. You know, and that's what I've got out of this convention. You know, I came here, you know, and I was feeling down, man. You know, I've been feeling down like the last month and a half and 2 months, and it's been that. You know, I have a big problem with codependency, and with women. You know, I let go of the drugs and the alcohol, and I've just been looking for that perfect woman to come into my life and fill the void. But there, you know, that doesn't exist, man. That perfect woman doesn't exist. And bottom line is, if I'm not healthy, how can I be in a healthy relationship? You know, if I don't love myself, how can I love someone else? So I came to the conclusion, and I look every area of my life. You know, I'm working today by the grace of God in a field that's helping other addicts. You know, God has given me so many things, you know, material, spiritually, different things in my life that I should be so grateful for. But I'm such an addict that it's never enough. You know, I always want more. I always want more, and I always want more. And I'm never satisfied, just like with the drugs. And I'm coming to understand, man, that I really, really, really got to surrender these things, because if not, I'm not going to be content ever in recovery. I'm just going to continue to live with not pursuing the drugs and the alcohol, but now pursuing other things to fill that void. And I know that nothing that's external can do it. I wish it was, you know. I just say, well, you know, get two BMWs, and, you know, get a motorcycle, get three nice women, and get a, you know, a couple of condos in Miami Beach, and you'll be fine. But guess what? It doesn't work like that, man. And it's internally. And I got to work for this shit. I do have to stay in my daily reprieve. I got to get up and I got to pray. I got to read that meditation as soon as I get up. You know, I got to go to a meeting on a daily basis. I got to call my sponsor. I got to do service work. These are things that are really not hard for me to do, and I can do them on a daily basis. But I got to do these things without expecting that, because I'm doing these things, I'm going to get all these other things in return. Because that's, you know, I'm already getting what I need in return, which is the only promise of Narcotics Anonymous, which is freedom from active addiction. You know, and that is the solution that eluded me for so long, because I can never stop using. So I'm already getting more than my share. You know, if I got what I deserved, I'd be in jail or dead. You know, and God is not giving that to me. And my sponsor's Ed, and Ed says, you know, that same God that took you out of the grips of drugs and alcohol, out of Colombia, because that's where I come from. You know, I come from a city where, you know, the major drug people of the world, Cali. And just how God took you out of there, you know, and kept you alive, and you got, you know, a few 24 hours by the grace of God. God can do all these other things, but you must surrender to Him. And that's what I'm learning, man. I mean, it's just every day letting go a little bit more, letting go a little bit more, letting go a little bit more. It's not about using anymore, man. I lost the obsession and compulsion a long time ago by the grace of God. It's about learning how to live this life clean and at the same time enjoying it, man. Because I can, you know, I can just, you know, nothing's going wrong, but I will start some sort of dramatic episode, you know, every once a month or twice, so I can go back to the misery that I'm accustomed to, you know. And I really needed this convention, man. I'm serious. I needed this like there's no tomorrow. I needed to be here. I needed to hear the gentleman who spoke tonight too, you know, because it is an inside job, and I got to remember that. It is an inside job. And when I'm thinking a woman can fix me, watch out, because that's the point where I'm really fucked up. And bottom line is, when I go to this woman and she sees me like that and I am so needy, really what I'm doing is I'm driving her away. I'm driving her away. As my sponsor tells me, man, you know, a woman likes a man who's confident in himself. You know, it's just like if you have a girl who, you know, is coming up to you and she's crazy as hell and calling you 20 times a day and you're like, hell no, you know what I'm saying? You're like, God, no, please stay away. And that's how I get obsessed. I don't know if it has to do because my parents got divorced when I was young. I don't know what the fuck it has to do with it. I really have no idea. I don't know if it's because I started using at such a young age that I never grew emotionally. You know, I sedated all my emotions. I was 9 years old and I was smoking pot in New York. So consequently, I never knew what it was to feel anything because I always knew there was a drug or a bottle or anything to sedate that pain. So, you know, that's how I live. So now I'm in the real world. I'm 34 years old and my emotions are those of an 11-year-old boy. And that's how I react. And that's fucked up, you know, but it's all right, man. I'm not using, and that's the main thing. And the main thing is I gotta accept that and know that it's a process. It's progress, not perfection. And, you know, that day when I'm not looking, you know, when I'm not looking for that, just like everything else, God will put that situation in my life. You know, just like it's been with everything else, you know, little different things here and there He's put in my life, but I have not been looking for them. And that's the key. With this all closed, the speaker said one thing tonight. He said, stop, you know. What the fuck? Stop, you know. Stop. Give God enough time for the obsession and compulsion to go away. Stop. Because, you know, like what was shared, you know, the speaker, you know. I mean, I'm always, you know, sniffing around, you know, looking at the perimeter, you know, seeing, well, this one looks kind of good. That one there. And you know, what kind of life is that, man? Like what you were talking about tricking, man. Well, what kind of, you know what I'm saying? You know, what kind of life is that? There's no freedom in that shit. You know, there's no freedom in that. You know, if you can't be content with yourself, if you can't be in your own skin, guess what, man? You need to continue to work some steps. And that's where I'm at. I'm on my sixth step. I'm grateful. And I know that that's going to be the one, man, to let go for the first time of all these other things. And I am grateful to be here. And if you're struggling with this program, like I struggled with it for so many years, it wasn't the program I was struggling with. It was things inside of me I didn't want to let go of. And some of these things were too painful to let go of. So I held on to them, and I held on to them until I had no alternative but to go out and sedate the pain. And today I know that because Ed's told me that, my sponsor. And I know if I keep holding on to this shit, I will go out and sedate the pain because recovery will become boring, meaningless. It won't be appealing anymore because I'm holding on to this shit. So today, right now, tonight, at this meeting, I don't know what time it is, 1:30 in the morning, I'm going to let it go and I'll keep coming back. Thanks for letting me share.
I'd like to thank everybody that showed up for the meeting. And somebody read just for today? Anybody?